Mafia Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. I am the main host and frontman for the show, the Reverend Godfather. I just wanted to do a brief intro, which has been becoming a little bit of a habit over the past couple of months. The reason why this time around is that I am currently back from Baltimore Comic Con. I've been back for the past 24 plus hours. This is our review episode. Me and Big Candy, again, thank you, Big Candy, for sponsoring me for the show and getting me out of the West Virginia Panhandle for the day into Baltimore. It was a wonderful day. We recorded it in his car on the way home, so that's why you hear a lot of background stuff. After the review, I'll mention a contest we're doing until October the 5th. So, just wanted to give it a little bit of an intro for it. Again, hey, enough of me chit-chatting about this intro. To the review!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. If we sound strange this time around, that's because we are in a moving vehicle, folks. It's me and Big Candy in the vehicle. We are, and Caleb, who's asleep right now. We are on our way back from Baltimore Comic Con. I wasn't expected to go to Baltimore Comic Con this year. That's why you kept hearing me say I'm not really sure about if I'm going or not. Major props to Big Candy for taking me and sponsoring me for this trip. Pretty much the whole nine yards. I'm in the shotgun seat trying to co-pilot because why? Because Apple Maps and directing everything has fucked up royally. We're going to be giving you our thoughts about Baltimore Comic Con 2016 because I haven't been there since I was taken there back in 2014 with Flywheel, and Big Candy hasn't been there since when? What, 2009?
9 or 10.
Something like that. Remember, you want to keep straight. We're going towards Frederick. You don't want to make any off turns. Right. Don't listen to that bitch.
Yeah. To Google Maps. From hell's heart, I stab at thee.
What's even worse is that we got out of the, not just Baltimore, the parking garage was like, we go down one level, make a turn, and we back at the literally, we went down like two floors and make one turn left, and we're back to exactly where we started from.
Damn thing was designed by M.C. Escher.
You know, that was the Mandela effect. Stay tuned next week on but Baltimore this year, after not being there last year, I must say, it seemed like it was crowded this year.
It seems like they downsized and packed everybody in.
It was the same location as, I want to say last year, I can't say last year, but it was the same location as it was 2014, which it seemed like it was a bigger space, but at the same time, it's growing as a show a little bit, but
we can afford to spread out a little.
But it was crammed today. It didn't seem as crammed as it was back in 2014. Actually, it seemed like there was more people than it was back in 2014. What I noticed this year is that a lot of booths were selling these grab bags. That's what they were, basically what they were. They were
a loot crate.
Yeah, it's basically what it was, a loot crate type ordeal. Best way to describe it. For some of you, we're going 88 miles an hour, we're going to break the fourth dimension, because some of you might have seen my video Saturday evening in reference to me showing you what I got at Baltimore. See our Facebook page at Facebook/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. They were from as little as $20 all the way up to 35. Actually, $37 was the equivalent of what I picked up at AwesomeCon this year, which was a decent, maybe 2-foot by 2-foot box. And they were literally all over the place. But a lot of great artists, and I managed to pick up something from, got my cell signed from Kevin Eastman, who did a little turtle sketch on it. I did not expect him to do it, because the guy, his handler was like, he's not going to do any sketches. I'm like, I'm not really, I'm just here to get stuff signed, you know, right. But
sketch he did.
Yeah, a sketch he did. He was like, I like this, I'm going to do this. I'm like, okay. What am I going to say? No. One of the things I noticed that they started to do, at least in 2014, I think they might have done it in 2013, is have media guests there. Not in a way that's overly overdone with...
it's almost quiet.
It's not like it's overdone with, like, AwesomeCon or anything like this. I will say this. I walked in with my poster tube, and I did not have to have it weapons checked.
They did have a weapons check.
Yeah, they did have a weapons check, but they did not have me go to the weapons check and weapons check my poster tube.
I guess they realized what it was.
Well, it shows you what they are. They know a little bit more about what poster tubes are than what AwesomeCon is. But
they obviously didn't care about the tickets.
No, that's nothing. It's like they didn't scan the tickets. They didn't...
I looked at it and threw it in the box.
But one of the things that I noticed... I don't know if Big Candy got the email. I got it last... I saw it last night. Is that they had... the chick who plays Ice, Iris from Flash there. The email that I got the other day saying she was, due to scheduling conflict or shoot conflict, filming conflict, whatever you want to call it, she's going to be there. She's going to show up, still be there today on Saturday. But she is going to be late, and she's still going to do it. Instead of her doing her panel on Saturday, she's going to do it on Sunday. But that I believe because of the reason why I say that is because on a previous podcast I did and ranted about in reference to AwesomeCon is how they so-called lied in reference to one of the guests and why they couldn't be there on a Friday and a Saturday. And because... they said it was quote-unquote filming, and the promoter said, I don't know what you're talking, in essence lied again and said, I don't know what you're talking about. But with this, I won't say we've known the promoter personally, but the promoter has been more than open over the past, since we've been going to the show, it's been, what, 10 years at least, if not more. If not more, at least more for me, it's been at least 12 years, something like that. He's been more open, and I believe him, not because of that, but because of her scheduling. They're actually filming The Flash right now, so that I believe that. But again, see our video on Facebook to see what I picked up this week, or say at this particular show. There weren't a lot of cosplayers, but not as many as...
Well, there weren't as many cosplayers per se. There was a lot of people dressed up.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, there was, and there was...
cosplayers, like professional cosplayers, no. There wasn't that many.
No, there were people in the standard. I'm going to toss something together and say I'm this, but... there were some that were decent. There were all ranges of expertise, I'll say that.
Yeah.
God bless America. I could thank Patrick Roof for that. I'll explain that because due to me not really having a ride, I bribed him 1 year. This was back in 2013. I bribed him to get to me to Baltimore. I sponsored him. And once he saw a lot of the cosplayers that had super low-cut stuff and that were popping out of their outfits, he coined the term God Bless America. So there were a lot of low-cut cosplayers, to say the least.
Harley Quinn in particular.
That was the con standard, was Harley Quinn. It was her Suicide Squad outfit this year. Her more original outfit was not in demand, but it was not really there as it normally is. It was more of her.
I did see one.
There were like a few, but not as many. But there were mostly the Suicide Squad movie versions of it. There were a few Deadpools. There were not as many Doctor Who's there that I saw, at least today.
A lot of Wolverines.
A lot of Wolverines. There were a few X-Men. There were a few. There was, I think, two Disney or several Disney that I saw. There was a couple Ash Ketchums. I don't know, my
some
way
originals.
Out.
I saw some of my people as their character or something close to, like, you know, I guess something their friends were promoting. Like the guy we got a picture with, the gruesome guy.
Yeah, we got a picture. Big Candy got a picture. Our Instagram and our Facebook feed. Our Instagram feed is Longcoat Mafia. You'll see a picture of Big Candy there with, I think his name is Buzz Corpse or something like that. So that's what he goes by on Instagram. A lot of guys like that doing their own thing, doing their own characters, which was great. It's always good to see an original character doing something like that. We were there. I was there in, you know, my coat and all that, so and my lucky hat. But it was, to me, it was Baltimore Comic Con.
Yeah.
The swag table wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's always sad to see, not to see. DC Comics not there. It's always sad to see the Dark Horse not being there and their baby bags not being there.
When I was a boy, there were bags.
Yellow bags,
yellow
as far
bags
as the eye can see.
Just not one. One end to the other. You couldn't see much further. Full stuff.
But, Valiant Comics was there. They're, ironically, they're trying to make a comeback.
Really?
They are.
They're always making a comeback. It seems like they're always like on the verge of busting out and becoming something cool and kind of fizzle.
But at least they're trying to make something new. I think it's Devil's End or
Devil's Do.
Devil's Do Comics had a small booth there. We got a couple of, give them a shout out. We got a couple of comics off of them to read and review. Our next host, this isn't really a hostful. We'll give them a review next when we have our get-together, not to mention some of the other stuff we got. There was another independent, an Artist Alley. I'm going to give him a shout-out. I'm not going to reach back to try to get the comic that he did. He was literally selling the shit out of his comic. He was doing his company was like Furball Comics or something like that. It was all about this,
James Bond car.
literally, they're promoting James Bond on the side of the car.
Really?
Yeah, it was back there. You passed him.
Here, let me hit the smoke screen.
But, he was like, oh, you gotta read this. It's all about my. Like, he was literally like, come down to Hairball Studios, read about my cat, you know, who's the king of cats.
Is it the one with the little kitty drawings and it said, like, human feed me or something like that.
Something like that. He had this cat in a cage and
it was cute,
but he was selling the shit out of it.
It was,
you know,
cutesy, but it was cool.
Yeah, I can't. You cannot deny that shit like that. You cannot. Ooh, the light. Oh, dear God.
Jesus
Christ.
We're currently driving directly into the sun.
You're getting this roll. I know everybody who's listening on this on the communities on Partoon is like, oh my God, look at all the ums and ahs in this. We're driving into the sun. We're recording this on the way home. I am not going to edit out the ums and ahs because this is ums. Simply because this is us tired as hell. Caleb is the lucky one who is sleeping right now. Basically, after this recording, I'm going to see if I can con Big Candy to drop me off at the pizza place.
Pizza.
That way it's closer for me to get back to the safe house, in which I'll download this episode and post it Sunday night. No, it's in the bag. I'm not going to reach for it. I got two posters. Met with Rafer Roberts. Again, nice guy. There were a lot of people, even...
Is that the Nightmare Rat guy?
Yeah.
Man, I wanted to get some stuff from him. Shit. Will he be a Popcron?
Good chance.
Is he local?
I think he is.
He has to be, because he was at the library, right?
Yeah, he was at the library show. Folks, if you're listening, go back maybe about a month or so. Roughly the start of August, you'll see interviewing at a library con, I think is what I called it. I don't have access to Podbean right now, so I can't tell you exactly what it is. So we had a decent conversation with him and a couple other people, including Matt Burns. So, what else?
From the show, I'll talk about my haul.
Talk about your haul.
I got, let's see. First thing I bought was I went to Pizza Party Printing and got the Stranger Things Black Flag style tee. In 4X, because I am a gentleman of large stature. And it was nice talking to the guy over there. I talked to him for about 20 minutes. Just about this, that, and the other. Giving props for all the different designs. They go way out of their way to do different stuff, more so than a lot of normal printing people. They do like old B movies from the 80s and 90s, like The Stuff and Street Trash and Brain Damage. Like, I'm wearing the Brain Damage shirt today. I showed him, I was like, yeah, I already got your shirt on. then I went to got the same little loot crate box like you got. Yeah. I got the pop one. There was some pretty cool stuff in there. I haven't really had a chance to look it over. What else did I get? Made my way over to Artist Alley. Picked up a really neat book. Some lady and her husband, I believe. I hope I'm not saying that wrong. I hope it's not like sister or brother. But they did like Japanese demons. And it's a whole book of Japanese demon illustrations, which I thought was really neat. Made my way to Xenoscope, who does Grim Fairy Tales. It hasn't... You know, always has done Grim Fairy Tales for as long as I can remember. picked up a horror collection from them, and also picked up their Baltimore Comic Con exclusive limited to 500 cover with the baseball girl. She looks like she's got Orioles gear on, which is, you know, that's my team. what else did I get? They gave me some more. Oh, and I got some stuff from some vintage dealers. I got one old copy of Creepy yearbook. I was mainly looking for a lot of horror stuff, pre-code stuff, trying to get prices on a lot of that stuff because I'm researching that. But I did find some neat stuff up there today, a lot of neat people. I didn't take as many pictures as I wish I would have. I kept wanting to take pictures and then I just didn't. I don't know why.
But not being there at Baltimore for close to 6, maybe 7 years, what do you think of it, though?
I'll be honest, like when I first got there, it was a little bit of a culture shock because I haven't normally gone to a con in about 4 or 5 years. So going in and the crowd the way the people are kind of was throwing me at first, and I had to like kind of stop and take it all in, and then it was okay. But, like, at first, it was a little much, being that I hadn't really done that in quite a while. And the more crowded it got, the more hectic it got, especially with, you know, having a kid with a stroller there. That was something I'd never done before. And it was challenging, as well as the fact that he's got little thievy hands, and he stole some stuffed animals from a booth while I was looking at comics at another booth. I had to go back and pay for them. And he would have got away with it too if it wasn't for the little kid. I don't know. It was neat seeing all the different art and how stuff's progressing. I noticed nowadays a lot of the stuff isn't a lot of there's not a lot of hand-drawn stuff anymore. It seems to be a lot of digital.
A lot of lithos.
A lot of lithos. I was surprised to see, to be honest, all the
The page art?
Not the page art. It's like down in Artist Alley. I was surprised to see the amount of artists that are still kind of like doing the same thing. People that I recognize from like 4 and 5 years ago, or like 6 years ago now. Gosh, it's been a while. 6 years ago from when the last time I was there, I did recognize some faces. I didn't see certain people. I didn't see, like, you know, Tales of a Bounty Hunter guy. I didn't see him there. I didn't see, you know, some of those people, but I did see some other familiar faces from back in the day. You know, I would have liked to have seen a lot more. I didn't get to, like, really look into Artist Alley as much as I wanted to, but it's just because it was so crowded. Like, there was a lot of people in there. A lot of different stuff. A lot of good handcrafted stuff. A lot of people doing like some different stuff, which was cool. That's why I got the Demon book, because it was different. A lot of the guys that were doing sketches, like they were doing things like that one guy that was painting on the light box with a razor.
Yeah, he was like glass etching or something like that.
Well, it wasn't like glass etching. It was, I think he had like, I want to say it was like polyfoam, or not polyfoam. What do you call that? Damn it. Oh, he didn't come after me. All right, because I was definitely speeding. What do you call that?
It was like paint. It was a combination of, it looked like glass etching and...
He was just scraping away the paint that was on the plexiglass. I can't. My brain's like melted right now. But yeah, plexiglass, and he was just scraping away what was on it, you know?
I was kind of surprised to see DeviantArt at there doing like doing promoting web comics and stuff like that, is different.
That's what I was gonna say. I was surprised to see Kablam. Did you see the Kablam booth?
I might have. I might have walked by it.
I can't believe that they're still there. Like, because
was that like the kid section?
No, Kablam was. I don't know if you remember Kablam, but they still kind of are doing the same. The same kind of promotion they were doing years ago. What they did was, you could send in comics that you drew at home to them, and they would print them for you. They would print them in batches, or they would print off a single issue, or you could buy other people's comics that way. And it was a great idea back in the day. But for whatever reason, I haven't heard much of out of them in the last bunch of years. And all of a sudden, like, you know, this is like 6 years since I've actually seen the last Kablam ad, and there they are. I thought that was strange. The one good thing, I did notice that CGC made an appearance this year, which was cool. I don't know if they've ever done any of the other shows before.
Yeah, they've done a few. I remember many years ago, I dropped off my comics at Baltimore to have them graded at the show, but they were mailed back to me. I think this was the first year they were actually grading them at the location, and you could pick them up the same day or something like that. As always, Baltimore has, you heard me mention that they have a kids section, which is always good. Unlike Awesome Con, that seemed they had like a science-y, like because of the Smithsonian, they had a science-y type of ordeal there. But with the kids section, there was a lot of people there with their kids doing kids art and kids drawings and so forth and so on, teaching kids how to draw. But with AwesomeCon, it was like scarce. Literally, it's like, oh, we're going to have like the Smithsonian here doing the touchy-feely type ordeal, and no one was there. But then again, it was a Friday. But that was that. To me, it was more, I don't want to say more packed, it's bad English, but it was busier than it was last time I was there.
Definitely busier.
Score-wise, I'm going to give it at least a hard 7.5, soft 8.
Yeah.
Soft 8.
I agree.
About the same thing?
I agree completely.
7.5, soft 8.
There was nothing that blew me out of my socks or anything. Like, I didn't sit there and, like, as a matter of fact, there were some things that, like, definite drawbacks that I would like to actually voice my opinion on the webpage. Mainly stroller and wheelchair accessibility to the con. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you have it in the downstairs area, but you have no ramps to get down there in the convention center. You have one working elevator, and it takes like 20 minutes for me to get down there. That was unacceptable. Out of all the people there, the people with strollers and wheelchairs, we were all having to wait in line for one elevator that you could fit maybe two strollers on. Or like one stroller and one wheelchair, you know? So I thought that was rather unacceptable. But the show itself, like, if I'm rating just like who was there, what was there, and, you know, the con experience, it was, yeah, hard 7, possibly hard 7.5.
One of the things I saw on Facebook while we're heading to lunch, or heading back from lunch, was someone posted on their Facebook page that
blind spot. Animal.
During the costume contest was held today, and I guess one of the people kept making divorce stories, and he was telling divorce stories, bad jokes, and making fun of the congoers or something like that.
What?
I gotta go back in my timeline today to see that. Yeah, because that's what he was telling. The story was, and. I mean, if he was actually doing that, one of the judges was actually doing that, if anybody who's listening to this and was at that costume contest, please message us, email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and let us know if that actually was happening, because I would like to expand on this at some point in our future. So that way we have some more information if that was true or not, because I'm not going to bash Baltimore Comic Con for that,
right.
But I want more information whether or not it's true, because that lies more so on the judge than the con itself. Because if they get somebody in who knows what they're doing, but they're making fun of the guests and the con players and the ticket holders and the cosplayers, that's wrong.
Right,
that is wrong.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting.
Is that 340 exit coming up soon?
Oh, hopefully. I wasn't paying attention.
That's okay. Or Frederick,
I guess. Yeah, it looks like it. But I know for a fact, hopefully, that's another thing. I haven't seen over the past couple of years. Normally, I've seen when Baltimore hits and I don't go, I see photos like non-freaking stop posted on Facebook. And
steady stream of photos.
And I'm like, and I'm kicking myself some days, like, the years I haven't gone, damn, I missed out. Shit, look at that cosplayer. Look at that. I missed out on that person. Missed out on that person. Past year, 2 years, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I know Baltimore Comic Con lets you tag their photos. The past few years, I haven't seen that. And speaking of tagging photos and cosplayers, I seen this year, someone was dressed up as Egon from the original cartoon. I won't say the original cartoon, but the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Right, right.
So that was cool. I was trying to place him like, I think that's Egon. They're trying to do Egon. And I'm like, no, that's Egon. I'm right. That's Egon from the real Ghostbusters cartoon. And it was like really nicely done. As I was coming back out to try to meet up with you, damn you free Wi-Fi.
Which one went to?
Charlestown, Leedsburg.
Okay.
That link. Don't forget that there's a like pickup in your blind spot.
In my blind spot, as usual.
There was two people dressed up from Ghostbusters movie that just came out.
Yeah.
It was that their packs are. Now, mind you, a lot of the people that do the Ghostbusters cosplay, they are literally equivalent to the 501st.
Right.
And I don't want to say, as much as I want to kind of include the finest in it, that meaning groups like the 501st and the finest, that everything is to spec.
Right.
You do a proton pack, it's to spec. You cannot have a pack that's cardboard, or if you're part of that group, it can't be a blow up Party Central Ghostbusters outfit.
Right, right, right.
And the packs that the person that was doing Egon was just dressed as, you know, in the suit and the hair and the glasses, and didn't really have a pack on, but she was just there being Egon. I can't really fault her for that. She was doing a decent job. The ones that were doing the Ghostbusters from the 2016 movie, their packs were all cardboard.
Yeah, I did see that.
And I'm like, at least, well, I know there are cosplayers that have budgetary concerns and so forth and so on, but it's kind of hard to critique something without actually knowing, you know, budget reasons and all that.
Right,
so
right, right.
It's when you're used to seeing someone with, you know, I won't say a full working proton pack.
Right.
It's, and you see now all of a sudden here's cardboard. So it's kind of hard.
I know. And the thing was, like, I saw some pretty cool variations. I did see I want to say it was like a steampunk version of a Ghostbuster. I could be wrong. But I also saw, the other one. Oh, it was like a Rosie the Riveter-esque take on it as well, which I thought was kind of neat, you know. I wish she would have went with like a more old-school looking patch on her shirt, but oh well, that's just preference.
I know there's a few that are like that out there, and with some of the cosplayers, I know I got a photo of two Disney cosplayers. They were doing Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
And they were doing it in character.
Right.
And that's fun. That's great. That's fun. That's mm-hmm. That's part of the experience. It's, as you, some of you might have heard me explain with Joe Colton and the gals from the Finest, that there are sometimes some cosplayers, depending on the mood, like you can't really ask for photos on the way when they're leaving and all that.
Right, right.
But sometimes you get a few cosplayers in there that are rude and so forth and so on. There was steampunk. There was a steampunk Joker, steampunk Harley Quinn. I think I got a picture. I'll post it on our Instagram, and I'll post it on our, which automatically go to our Facebook page. It was real good. I got a picture of them, and as soon as I got done, there was a steampunk Catwoman that decided to photobomb, and I snapped the next photo.
Oh, video bombed somebody's video. I don't know what it was. I walked by, you know, with the death stare. I don't know. We'll see if it ever turns up.
If it turns up, I'll be sharing it. I'll be keeping an eye out.
Somebody was interviewing a Ghostbuster. That's all I know. So be on the lookout for that.
So that was our con experience. We'll probably be telling Zombie Bunny on the 17th if she shows up. If we have that's bad speak. When she shows up and we get together on the 17th.
Bad speak.
Bad speak. as always, we'll have to give you guys a little bit of preview. Hopefully on this upcoming Wednesday, I'll be recording with the good Reverend Jay Leal from Skeleton Crew. We'll be talking about the infamous Mandela Effect. If you don't know what that is, we'll go into that, explain what it is, the what's going on with that, and probably after...
Bernstein Bears!
It's more than that. It affects more than the Bernstein Bears. And you folks, when you listen to it, you might want to put on your tinfoil hats because this is going to get good. That's all I'm going to say. If you want to know more, you might want to check out that episode. And I might be, for the first time, doing a Friday one-shot with a classic episode to pair it off. As much as I don't want to, it'll be a good pairing episode. I'll say it like that.
R.I.P. Nelson Mandela.
Back in 1983. So, that's it for now. You can always find our all our episodes at our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. You can always subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play Music. Don't forget to, if you constantly listen to us on iTunes, please rate and review us. It does help us in some way, not with getting us high up on their iTunes algorithms, but it allows us to get more listeners. So please rate and review us, and let us know that you did, so we could give you a shout out on the show. And if you wish to email us, you could do so at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. If you wish to message us on Facebook, again, just we're at the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. We're on Twitter, which is Long Coat Mafia. Our Instagram is also Long Coat Mafia. So like and subscribe us to there, and we'll see you, at least I'll see you next week. Thank you, guys.
And we're back. That was our review episode. As you can tell, we had a good time, and we did enjoy ourselves. We, as a review, we always have to find a little bit of the bad in the good. The contest is that both me and Big Candy got these like grab bag boxes, and in my box, I got this free VIP pass for two to the comic book museum that's in Baltimore. And I don't know if Big Candy got the same thing in his that I did with mine. So, just in case he didn't, I'll be giving that ticket to him. But I will say this. I would like you, now here's the contest part. I would like you to write to the show via our email, which is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Email us why you think you want that particular pass more than him. I know it sounds rude and I'm jipping him, but you'll get that pass. If no one writes in to the show, that pass, October 5th, my birthday, that pass goes to him, the next hostful I see him. So, or the next time I see him, he gets that pass. So, please, write in and tell us why you would like to have a free pass to this comic book museum. Because he said he really wants to go. And it's a free pass for him to go and enjoy the day. So, please tell me why you would like that pass. So, either way, if you like or wish to tell us what we did wrong with the show or what you liked and hated about Baltimore Comic Con if you went, you're free to use the same email and let us know what you thought. Again, the email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Our Facebook page, again, is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Our Twitter and Instagram handles are both Long Coat Mafia. You could listen to all our past episodes from the very beginning over 1 year ago at our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Or if you want to make sure you get the latest episode, you could subscribe to us either on iTunes or Google Play Music. And yes, if you prefer streaming, we are on Stitcher Radio. So I'm going to leave you with that. I hope to see you next week with that interesting episode. So, take care, folks. See you on the other side.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.